So welcome to Advent this morning. Again, my name's Keith, if you don't know me. And this is a time on the Christian calendar where we turn our attention to the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ in the flesh, right? On that first Christmas day when he was born in Bethlehem. Now, with that said, I do love how one author describes Advent. And he does so by saying that it is the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. You see, for you and I, in less than a month, we're going to say goodbye to 2024, right? And we're going to say hello to 2025. So yes, Advent, it has ties to the end of our Christian calendar year, but it also is the beginning. The beginning, you see, of how the church has historically even marked time. You see, Advent is actually the first season on the liturgical calendar, and it seeks to retell the story of Jesus Christ. And it seeks to do that each and every year in this season through Scripture and through the celebrations. So yes, okay, it is the beginning. Advent is the beginning, but it is also the end. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it also serves a dual purpose, you see. That first purpose is to remember. So during Advent, we remember, okay? We remember the waiting. We remember the waiting of all creation for the arrival, that initial arrival of the Christ child incarnate, the birth of God in the flesh as a human, which Israel in the Old Testament awaited, right? Which was going to be the turning point of all history. So during Advent today, we are meant to recall. We're meant to remember what it means to wait. We're meant to recall what it means to long for and to anticipate. And with that said, anticipation, that is actually the second purpose of Advent, because we are still awaiting Christ. We are still awaiting Christ in his second coming. You see, Advent, the word, it is Latin for the coming of, for the arrival of. And so today, and in this season that we're in, we are remembering, okay? We are remembering the past arrival of Christ, and we are longing together for his second coming to occur still, which he promised, so it will. So Advent, you see, is in fact the beginning, okay? It is the beginning, as we remember, the beginning of this Christ event here on earth when he was born in Bethlehem. And it is, in fact, the end, as we anticipate his return and as we experience foretastes of it in this season and always as we participate with the Holy Spirit of God to even bring shades of heaven to earth, ourselves through our growing in holiness and through our demonstrations of holiness and goodness amidst the world. So the question becomes this, church: how do we do these two things well? How do we remember and how do we anticipate well? Well, in saying that, if we recall the narrative of Christ's birth from our Bible, which unfolds in Matthew and Luke's gospel accounts, as we think about that, I want to draw our attention to something. All of the stories that take place, you know, things like the coming of the angel to Zechariah, which we just heard from the Beyer family from our campus. Didn't they do a great job? Yeah, right? But all of the stories, including that one, and including things like the calling of Mary, including things like the visit of the Magi, well, they are all really special moments, aren't they? But they also happen amidst these people's ordinary lives, don't they? So they are these special moments, but they happen amidst these people's ordinary lives. I mean, Zechariah, in what we just read, Zechariah is working, okay? And Mary is a teenager living in a small village, and Joseph, Jesus' earthly dad, he's just working the family business. Now, what all of this shows us, which is what I want us to notice today and throughout this whole sermon series, is that the backdrop of Christ's first coming is like in everyday, normal life. And it is the midst of this ordinariness that God's extraordinary plan breaks through. Which God, I'm telling you, God is still in the business of that today. So church, the best way for us to both remember and to anticipate in this season and every day of our lives is to recognize that our everyday lives, your everyday life, our everyday lives are the very places where God can, he can perform extraordinary work. And so if you and I, if we can grab hold of the fact that the incarnation, the infleshing of Christ means something for us today in every aspect of our life, that means that we should live differently, okay? You see, we need to recognize something. We need to recognize that Emmanuel, which means God with us, entered the lives of all the people who make up the Christmas story in our Bible. And he is still, okay? Can you say he is still? He is still entering lives today. He's doing that to accomplish the extraordinary. I mean, Jesus, he literally began to live within these people's ordinary lives. And I'm telling you what, that same God, this same God, okay? This same God, church, he wants and he offers to indwell your every day and my every day and our seemingly mundane lives, which I'm telling you what, in and of itself, that right there, that's extraordinary. That's extraordinary that he wants to do that. He wants to participate with us. Now with that, let's go ahead now and turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 8. And this is where the story begins to pick up. And it begins to pick up months before that angelic visit to Mary, because it actually begins with her much older cousin, Elizabeth, and with Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. You see, Zechariah was a priest, okay? And he would, in that role, he would periodically be called for service in Jerusalem. And we are told that this couple is righteous. It said righteous in God's sight, which, you know what, you are too if you have accepted Christ. You are too, so let that settle in. So this couple, they are righteous, but we also find out that they're childless. And being childless, it isn't a reflection on their standing with God, but it would have been a point of societal shame for them at this time in history. So with that said, let's pick up the story. Luke 1, starting in verse 8, God's word says this. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Now, I want us to notice the line, okay? According to the custom of the priesthood. And we need to kind of parse this out a little bit. You see, the temple, it was divided into sections. Sections that people could enter based upon their levels of holiness. So with that said, Zechariah would have been entering what we could term the intermediate zone of the temple. And he was doing this to burn incense before the Lord. And for Zechariah, this would have been a massive honor. But on another level, this was just what priests did, okay? Now, not every priest would get to, nor was this a daily occurrence, but at the end of the day, church, it was just a part of the job. It may be similar to you or I being selected by our company to maybe go on a specific business trip or to take part on a particular study or a project or maybe for you or I to meet an important person in our field. So Zechariah, he was having a special moment, but also one that was pretty normal, okay? For it was the custom of the priests, with custom being repeated traditions or practices. And my point in saying all that is Zechariah, at the end of the day, he's just doing his job. He's just doing his job. Yes, a special moment, but part of the job. Just like, you know, many of you and I have. Now with that, let's keep reading in verse 11 of Luke chapter 1. Then, being when Zechariah is going about his rather ordinary duties, so then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled, and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now, if that felt like a little abrupt to you, it kind of should. I mean, Zechariah is going about his job and whammo, right? Whammo. An angel shows up. Now that is shocking, okay? Because I don't know about for you, but I don't think angels materialize at work for me very often. And by very often, I pretty much mean never, or at least I don't recognize it, okay? I mean, this scene, think about it. This scene, okay, it is the inbreaking of God into the creation that he made. And he is coming into the boundaries of the normal, the mundane. And God, through the angel, is making a decree, okay? A decree that Elizabeth would have a child. And not just any child, but this baby, it said, would prepare the way for the anticipated Lord, for Jesus. So you see, we are reading about the setup of a whole different kind of Advent. We're reading the setup of not simply a four-week season every year where we ideally meditate on Christ's birth and his eventual return. No, this scene, I'm telling you, this scene is a big deal. It's a big deal. For this Advent would come through a man who in the spirit and the power of the great prophet Elijah would bring people back to God. Back to God, all to prepare them for the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read that his name would be John, right? And that he would be the living anticipation of this coming Savior. And this all happens, again, it happens at Zechariah's proverbial office. He's going about his work. Now with that, when is the last time? When's the last time God did something like that at your job? Huh? Now where I work, and oh, by the way, I work here at the church. But where I work, this kind of God moment, it's not the everyday. It is the extraordinary here at Revive. And I assume that's true at your office too, or at your workplace too. And you know, Zechariah, he knew where he was. And he knew that it was a place considered to be holy, right? He's in the temple, and a lot of people would think that my place of work, the church, is a holy place. But let me ask you this, okay? What if your work, what if where you spend your days, what if that was a holy place? I mean, what if your job, whether that be in a factory or at the work site or at the office or at home as mom or dad or caregiver, what if that was a space where God permeated everything? And if not everything, what if you would allow yourself to be so permeated by God that you expected him, that you expected him to move, where you spend your days. What I'm saying, church, is that we need to understand something. We need to understand that the incarnation, that means that God is with us. He is with us. And yes, in the midst of Advent, we are remembering the birth of Jesus, but we are also living after his first coming, aren't we? Emmanuel has come, in case you didn't know. Emmanuel has come, and he has given us of the Holy Spirit of God. So God is with us. God is with you in your faith in Christ. And particularly as we reflect today, as we focus today, God is with us. He's with you in your work. You see, your work in your workplace, it isn't void of the action of God. It isn't. In fact, God has asked you. He's asked you, okay? A normal person with whatever ordinary shortcomings you may have, he has asked you something. He's asked you to be his ambassador. He's asked you to be salt. He's asked you to be light. He's asked you to be hope, healing, and grace. So let's reimagine. Let's reimagine that a little bit this Advent. Let's reimagine that a little bit this Advent and going forward, that your work is a holy place. It is a place where God desires to dwell. Would you reimagine that with me this season? Would you reimagine that with God this season? Now with that, let's continue to see what happens with Zechariah and Elizabeth, because God has something to say to Zechariah regarding this. And I'm just going to say up front, likely if you were Zechariah, you'd have been a little skeptical, okay? But let's read it, verse 18 to 25. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this?" Remember, he just told them they're going to have a baby, right? "I'm an old man. My wife's well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Now look, I'm not saying that God is going to silence you for doubting. That's not at all what I would expect to be normal. But the normal part of this portion of the story is this: God makes good on his promises. God makes good on his promises, meaning that Elizabeth does conceive. There is a baby coming. And these long-held hopes that lay dormant in Elizabeth and Zechariah, they're reawakened, church. And in fact, the long-awaited hope that Israel had for the coming of the Messiah, it's all set in motion. And I want you to notice, please, how Elizabeth responds. I want you to notice how she responds to this good news. She withdraws, right? It says she went into seclusion. And then she humbly gives God the honor, doesn't she? She humbly gives God the honor. She humbly gives God the glory. And then after that, you know what she does? She goes about a different kind of work. A different kind of work than her husband, but no less sacred. No less important. For her work is kingdom work, as should be all of our work. But what do I mean? So for 9 months and for years after, Elizabeth takes on the work of mothering, doesn't she? And in that work, I have no doubt, church, that she found deep communion with God the Father. And just so you know, John, in Hebrew, that name, it means God is gracious. So while Zechariah is silent, Elizabeth, what she does is she gives voice to worship to God. She gives voice to honor of God because she has been given a task, you see, that she never thought she would have, but that she so desperately had hoped for. This week of Advent's about hope. And so with that said, maybe you have had, and maybe you've harbored similar hopes. So I want to ask you this morning, what prayers of yours have gone to sleep? If you were here last Sunday, did you hear, side note, did you hear during the testimony time how many people said, I've been praying for so long for these people? Did you hear that? So what dreams of yours, what prayers of yours have gone silent? What dreams have you dreamed that have grown dormant? What promises of God have you thought forgotten that need to be reawakened? What are they? And I ask that because maybe this season, maybe it's a time to rekindle them with the Lord. You know, often I've found, even with myself, that when we first begin to follow Jesus Christ, many of us, we are filled with like zeal and passion for our faith, but only to see it kind of dwindle, right? To which I ask, why? Why? And you know, I would hypothesize that over time we kind of discover that following Jesus, it's kind of relatively ordinary in many ways. I mean, when you think about it, it includes things like cycles of reading scripture, regular times of prayer, attending church. And these things, they fill our weeks, and we might find that they're, you know, we become a little more generous, maybe contributing to something like a meal train that the church is putting on for a sick one or somebody who had a child. Or maybe, you know, in our faith walk, we maybe step up in serving. And I want you to not hear me wrong, but those things aren't bad things, but overall, they can just become repetitive and maybe even feel empty as those original passions, those original prayers, as they seem to fade in our minds. But this Advent, what if, church, what if those hopes, what if they were born anew in us this Advent? So if your hope has been, I don't know, for the work of parenting, then keep persevering in prayer. Or if you once saw your workplace as a mission field, but that's kind of faded, what if you imagined once again what God could do there through you? I mean, imagine for a second, if all the Christians in your workplace, what if all the Christians there simply exemplified the fruit of the Holy Spirit? If that happens starting with you, I'm telling you something. Your office, your assembly line, your job site, your classroom, your living room, it would just be more loving, it would be more self-controlled, it'd be more peaceful, and all of the other fruit as you bring the full giftedness of that fruit to work with you. By maybe even simple things, by maybe arriving on time, by being fully present when you're there, because you're bringing your best each and every day, because you're working as if working for the Lord. And here's another crazy idea. If you're a boss or really anybody, you could also set the example of not overworking. What do I mean by that? You could set the example of putting your job in its proper place in your life. Because you know what? It'll be there tomorrow. And we do all of that so that we have space intentionally for our relationship with the Lord and for our relationship with others. And I want you to know something. Listen, your workplace is baptized in the presence of the church. It is. Your workplace is baptized in the presence of the Lord. Do you know why? Because if you're a believer and you're there as a believer, you're there with Him. You're there with Him living inside of you. Let His love out Let them out. And let's start to see the opportunity for God's work through us in the everyday, because the fact is, again, that God, He's with us in our work. And it's His work anyway. Now, I'm not promising this morning that angels will show up, but I am promising something, that God will come through. He comes through on His promises, and that God doesn't fail. He doesn't fail. And I'm saying that God has called you. He's called you to such a time. He's called you to such a place as this. And so as you and I, as we await, as we anticipate, as Advent calls us to Christ's return, as we await that, let's live. Let's live as citizens of God's kingdom today, everywhere, including at our work. Because I'm telling you what, if the whole church were to do that, if it were, I'm telling you something, it would be extraordinary. It would be. But right now, let's turn back to the story to conclude it that we've been looking at, where we see that God does in fact come through. Verse 57 to 66. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, no, no, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives that has that name." Then they made signs to his father, to Zechariah, to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak. And what did he speak? He praised God, church. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." So Zechariah may have doubted when Gabriel spoke in the temple, but 8 days after the birth of his son, he's all in, church. He's all in, for his name will be John. Those are Zechariah's confirming words. And all the people, what were they doing? They were buzzing, right? They were wondering who this little boy would become. And if only they knew. If only they knew what God was going to do through John. You and I are on the backside of that. We know. We know. And so from there, though, Elizabeth and Zechariah, they take up the work of parenting this child who had this great destiny ahead of him. And they would do the normal. They'd do the everyday tasks of things like changing him and feeding him and helping him to grow, right? And then there was still this work, the same work that Zechariah had been doing when the story all started, indicating something that humans were created to take part in work and to take God to work with them. And it's no accident that God has placed you where you are today. That's no accident. So this Advent, again, I encourage us all, let's be reawakened, okay? Reawakened to our places of work. Remembering the call that God has placed on each and every one of us there, whether that be, again, at home or in the office or on the assembly line or at the barber shop or on the sports field or in the classroom as a teacher or student. And so there and everywhere, be filled, okay? Be the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit by asking, saying, "God, fill me with your Spirit. God, change me. Help me to be light. Help me to be salt. Help me to be hope, healing, and grace. And not my own levels of that, but yours, God. Help me." Be the person who is filled with the fruit, bearing his fruit, and seeing the mission field in front of you and I, knowing that the harvest is plentiful. And again, set the examples by maybe setting boundaries on your work so you have time for God, so you have time for that filling, and speak up. Speak up for the forgotten people where God has placed your feet. Because again, God is with us. He's with us in our work. And again, it's his work anyway. 'tis. So in the end, church, I had good news for you today. I had gospel today. I had gospel because God, you know what? God is still taking ordinary people, people just like you, people just like me. He is still taking ordinary people and he is doing extraordinary things. And our workplaces are unique, not because of what they are, but because of who is a part of them. Meaning you. Meaning you, because we are, what are we? We are the church. We are the followers of the way. And where the church is, the Spirit of God better be. For Emmanuel, God in the flesh, Jesus came, and through his promised and deposited Holy Spirit, he is with you. He is with us in our ordinary jobs, and that, I'm telling you, that is good news. And that's also extraordinary. So as the worship team comes up, I'd enjoy praying with you this morning. And I want to ask you some things with your eyes closed, your heads bowed. And we're going to pray about these things, but is there anybody out there whose prayers have just grown quiet for something? Like they've just grown quiet because you don't see anything happen? How about anybody that has some dreams that have just grown hazy? You know, that was a dream and they just seem so far away right now. How about promises? Are there any promises that of God that you just, it seems forgotten in you right now? Raise your hand if that's you. If you have prayers that have grown quiet, if you've had dreams that have grown hazy, if you've had promises of God that just seem forgotten, maybe if you've forgotten that your workplace is a mission field, just raise your hand and let's ask God to rekindle that in us this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, thanking you for this season. And let us never forget this is all about you, Christ. You're coming into the world. You're coming into the world to save us, but to also set us on mission. A mission of sharing you with others through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to grow. We want these prayers to not grow quiet. We want the dreams that have grown hazy to be rekindled in us. We want to see our workplaces as mission fields, and we don't want to forget any of your promises because you come through. So, Lord, would you rekindle those things in us if we are confessing them today before you? We give you all the honor and glory today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please stand for worship through song if you could.